unofficial Bengals podcast.
Welcome to the unofficial Bengals podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca, and I'm a Bengals fan for life. All right, in this episode, we're going to review 2024 free agency, the Bengals pending free agents from other teams, an overview of what we should do by position group, and my version of the perfect free agency for the Cincinnati Bengals in 2024.
What's up, guys? This is Evan McPherson, and you're listening to the unofficial Bengals podcast.
Hey, Cincinnati Bengals fans. I would like to introduce to you the one and only Frank LaPlaca.
All right, so here we are on the eve of free agency. What Bengals are going to be coming back? What new players are we going to add? How are we going to reshape this roster for a 2024 Super Bowl run? All right, so let's get started with the Bengals that are currently free agents and who we should consider bringing back. So first, DJ Reader. I think he's the most important one to retain from our own roster. We need him in the middle. He is a run stuffer. He is one of the keys to making that defensive line what it is. And I don't think you could let him walk. And if you let him walk, you have to get someone of equal ability. And there's not that many out there. We'll go over the guys from other teams that are out there. But you're not going to have a real replacement for DJ Reader. Most of the guys are more in the BJ Hill mode. And you really need another dominant one technique nose tackle type in there. And that's exactly what DJ Reader is. And I think he's going to come at a little bit of a cheaper price because of the injury that he's coming off of. He's flying under the radar right now. It's the perfect opportunity to bring back a leader of this team and a quality defensive player. Chidobe Awuzie would probably be the next one that you want to look to re-sign because I don't think he's going to command a huge price tag. Again, he's coming off an injury where he didn't play up to his full ability last year, so that probably brings his price down a little bit. I know we had him for about the $7 million range. If we can get him somewhere right around there, I say you bring him back. But you see how the Bengals have been drafting lately. They're trying to get younger at that position, younger and cheaper because of the expensive contracts on the offensive side of the ball with Burrow and the wide receivers. So if you can get Awuzie at a decent price, he is worth bringing back because I think he's going to have a better 2024 than he did in 2023. And don't get me wrong, he had a good 2023. But I think he'll be even better in 2024 because he'll be another year removed from that ACL injury that he suffered. Then on to Tyler Boyd. Unfortunately, that's a position that we're also going to try to get younger and cheaper at. And you think, you know, maybe Boyd comes back for $5 million or so. And, you know, that would be ideal, but I don't even know if they want to expend that much money for him right now because you're going to have Higgins at, you know, $21 million, whatever that, you know, $22 million. You're going to have Chase. They're probably going to re-up him before the season starts, and he's going to be getting probably $25 million. Who knows, maybe even higher than that. So you're going to have a lot of money invested there. You're going to have $100 million, basically, in Burrow, Higgins, and Chase, you know, give or take. And it's going to be rough to add another wide receiver, especially when you've drafted a couple young guys. So I'm thinking that they're probably going to look towards the draft. There's not a lot of wide receiver free agents that fit their mold. You know, the top tier guys, they're not going to have the money to sign at this position. And then, you know, you're probably looking at like a third tier free agent, maybe some kind of deep threat out there. But Tyler Boyd, it's a shame. Love to see you back. And it would be really special if they could get him back. But I just don't think it's going to work when you allocate a certain amount of dollars for each position. I just think they're pretty much at the limit for wide receiver. So again, you look to the draft. Maybe they get one early. Maybe something falls to them. I don't know if it's in their best interest to grab a wide receiver in round one. But you never know what's out there. I mean, with Burrow, you can have a fourth, fifth round wide receiver that explodes. I mean, look at Yoshivas as a sixth round wide receiver. So prognosis for Tyler Boyd, not that good. But again, I've said this before, please don't go to Pittsburgh, my friend. Please. Jonah Williams, I think the Bengals are going to part ways with Jonah Williams because I think that, well, the damage is done. You know, I think that he's caused Burrow enough pain over the last couple years, you know, with some suspect play and some very good play at times. You know, I can't totally hate on him, but I think other teams are going to overpay Jonah and the Bengals aren't going to enter into that derby. So they're either going to find another right tackle in free agency, and we're going to go over that in a minute as well. There's not that many that are going to fit, but this is a very tackle-rich draft. So this is the year that you let Jonah walk, you save, you know, who knows what he's going to command out there. I would say $12 million You know, I'm guessing. I don't know what the market exactly is, but the Bengals are not going to give Jonah Williams even $10 million when you can get something younger. And in a pinch, you even have Jackson Carmen. Everyone's forgetting about him. I know right tackle isn't his strength, but if you get shut out of free agency and the draft doesn't present itself, then you're going to go with Jackson Carmen, and it's not that much of a drop-off from Jonah. You know, they were battling for that job last training camp. So Jonah Williams, thank you for your service, and goodbye. Irv Smith, the next free agent on my list, not coming back. Enough said. I talked about him before. Josh Tupou, I think he's worth bringing back as a one technique. Obviously not a starter, but a rotational guy. Knows the system. He's been in the system for defense as long as anyone on this team. And you can get him, you know, probably for $1 million or $2 million. He's not going to command a huge salary. And he's an inexpensive rotational backup that knows the system. No-brainer. Max Sharping, they love Sharping because he could play everywhere. Center, guard, tackle. He was a high draft pick. You know, he has the physical attributes. Never really translated to a great NFL career, but he can go in there and give you some productive snaps from time to time. So they'll probably look to bring him back on a cheap deal as well, like $1 million, $2 million deal, unless they grab more than one tackle or more than one offensive lineman in the draft. And then, you know, you're going to use that as your depth. And remember, you still have Deontay Smith and Trey Hill and guys like that that you're trying to develop. So they're going to come at a little bit of a cheaper price than Sharping. But if they can bring him back for $1 million or so and they don't get too many guys to replace him, you may see him back. Travion Williams, the only way they're going to bring him back is going to be on a minimum contract because they can just go get another running back in the draft late. That's just the way the NFL works. No disrespect to Travion. I think he's got a future in the NFL, and I think he's going to be a productive player wherever he goes. I just think they're just going to get a little younger, a little cheaper, you know, and especially with the guys that they have, you know, Chase Brown coming into life, and, you know, they still have Chris Evans if they're going to use him. And, you know, we'll talk about Joe Mixon in a little bit as well. So on to the tight end position. Obviously, Irv Smith is going to be gone. I think you bring back all three of the other guys. I think you spend some money on Tanner Hudson, and he's not going to command a huge salary because even though he had a breakout year, he's still flying under the radar. I don't think they're going to have to overpay him, and I think you could pay him at just the right salary to get a target for Burrow. And Drew Sample's another one. He's not going to command a high salary. You finally found a role for him after all these years as that personal protector, H-back. And I think you bring him back on the cheapest deal you can get. And then you have Mitchell Wilcox, who's a restricted free agent, so he's an easy re-sign. So you bring back all three of those guys for the price that you would spend on a more expensive free agent. And we'll talk about some available veteran tight ends that are potentials for free agent signings in just a little bit. Akeem Davis-Gaither, I don't think they're going to bring him back. He's had some injury history here, never quite developed into what they wanted. He had a little bit of a role player niche as far as like a third down linebacker, special teams guy, but I think you could probably get that somewhere in the draft. So I'm not sure that they're going to bring Akeem Davis-Gaither back. If they do, it will be at a very low price. Trenton Irwin, another very productive player, one of my favorites, another restricted free agent. You're definitely going to see him back because as a restricted free agent, he's going to come at a low price tag, and he's shown that he can produce in this system. He can fill in when needed. He can fill multiple roles. He's just a reliable, tough player to have on this team. So look for Trenton Irwin to come back. Marcus Bailey, linebacker, I think they're going to bring him back as well. You can get him at a low price. You're going to need some depth there. Because when you think about it, you really just have Wilson and Pratt. Davis-Gaither, Bailey, and Bocci, your other three linebackers, are all free agents. So unless they're going to think about Shaka Hayward, you're probably looking at the draft and bringing back Bailey for depth. I don't know. Bocci's a mystery. I think they let Davis-Gaither and Bocci go, and they keep Bailey, and they draft a linebacker or two. And then they look at some of the guys that they had on the practice squad last year. I think that's the way they're going to go at linebacker. Regardless, it's, you know, we're talking about depth here. These aren't major, major decisions. But out of all of them, I say bring Marcus Bailey back. And then on to our free agents that we re-signed. T. Higgins with the franchise tag. You're not leaving the building, T. I'm so happy. They're not going to let you leave the building. You're going to have to play for $20-plus million this year. I apologize. But it's good money. It is life-altering money, even if he never played another down. And after this year, you know, the Brinks trucks are going to roll up, whether it's here or somewhere else. So no worries with T. Higgins. And now's your chance to get that Super Bowl MVP that you deserved a couple years back. And the Bengals actually just today re-signed Cody Ford to be their sixth offensive lineman. Another guy who's versatile. You can plug him in at guard, tackle, put him on either side. He played all 17 games for us last year in some capacity, so they're going to bring him back as the next guy off the bench, and that gives them a little flexibility. If they don't, you know, get some depth in free agency and the draft doesn't present itself, you know, your offensive line from last year is pretty much intact except for, you know, solving right tackle. And Cody Ford can actually play right tackle. I wouldn't want to see him be the starter, but now you have him and Jackson Carmen, you know, just in case things go awry and the draft and free agency don't fall where you want them to fall. Next is Cal Clark Harris Adamitis. You're my new man, so I love what you've done so far. They brought you back. You've been perfect your whole career so far, and I expect that to continue, and that's a no-brainer to bring this restricted free agent who has done nothing but perform as he should be performing. Jake Browning, the re-signing of him, obviously he couldn't go anywhere as long as the Bengals offered him a minimum contract. And to have him in the building is very good insurance. It's a shame you're going to have this great of a talent sitting on the bench. But man, if anything happens to Burrow, you know, we got a guy who can come off the bench who's going to be a year wiser, a year better, and even more confident. So this is worth its weight in gold rather than having to get some veteran free agent that doesn't know the system and eliminates the need to have to scramble for a quarterback. I think the Bengals are going to draft one to supplement this room, but you are set with Burrow and Browning. And, you know, with all due respect to Jake Browning, I hope you don't see the field this year except in some mop-up duty, you know, when we're up by 30 points on someone heading into the fourth. And then Devin Cochran was brought back. He was hurt all last year, but the Bengals like him, and that is depth at that position. So we'll see what happens with him, but he is going to be back in stripes for the 2024 season. All right, so on to what the Bengals should do in regards to signing other teams' free agents. Now, first, I'm going to offer a disclaimer. I'm recording this on Sunday, the eve of free agency, so I'm probably going to be saying a lot of things that in a couple days might be obsolete. It may prove me to be Nostradamus. It may prove me to be a village idiot. I'm not sure, but I'm going to give you my opinion, what I think we should do, how it should pan out, and, you know, probably by the time you're listening to this, some of this is going to have panned out either in my favor or against my favor, but regardless, it's all happening this week, and it's going to be an exciting week. Okay, so the Bengals are seventh in the NFL in cap space with about $50 million to spend, and that's a lot of money to go out there and grab some players. I know Chase is going to command some of that, but you still have money to get some guys and juggle things around and add a few quality starters to this already rich lineup. And just the converse of that, Pittsburgh is 20th in cap space. Baltimore's 24th in cap space. Our beloved Chiefs are 26th. And the Cleveland Browns are 27th. So the Bengals have so much more money to spend than all of those rivals. We already, I believe, have the most talented roster in the AFC North. I know Baltimore has a very talented roster as well, as does Cleveland. But I think the Bengals have the most talented roster. And out of all the teams, we're going to spend the most in free agency, so we're going to get better more than those other teams. And Baltimore already blew a big deal on Matabuke, so I don't know what else they can do, how much room they have. They're probably not going to be able to re-sign Patrick Queen, but again, this isn't a talk about our rivals' free agency delvings. This is a talk about what I think we should do. And just a quick note, just for bookkeeping's sake, Washington has the most cap space with about $96 million. Then you have Tennessee, New England, Chicago, Houston, Detroit. So those are the teams that have more space than us. And what do you have? Three AFC teams, Tennessee, New England, Houston. And of those three, really only one is a real playoff threat at this moment in Houston. Okay, position by position. Quarterback, nothing. You know, you brought back Jake Browning, you have Burrow, you seek your third quarterback in the draft, and you go from there. Running back, same thing. You have Mixon, which I won't be surprised if they ask him to take another small pay cut. We'll see what happens. You'd like to see Mixon in the building for $7 million plus incentives. You know, $5 million would be great, but that's really not fair to him. I don't want to see Joe Mixon get cut. So if there's a way to maybe reduce his salary a little bit, make it more incentive-based, and keep him around, that would be a big solution. And then you have Chase Brown behind him. You have Chris Evans behind him. And look for the Bengals to draft another one. And you never know, even an undrafted free agent could pan out there. So don't look for the Bengals to do anything at quarterback and running back in free agency. And the same thing with wide receiver. With what I talked about at the top of the show, there's a lot of money in Higgins and Chase. And they still have a lot of young guys that they've built up over the last couple years. You bring Irwin back on a pretty minimal deal. And then you draft somebody somewhere in the draft because no matter where you pick him, Joe Burrow's going to be able to find him and make him the best player that he can be in the NFL. So wide receiver is more of a retain your own and look towards the draft position. Tight end's the big one for this year. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's four free agent signings. And that would eliminate the need to go into the draft unless, like, Bowers falls to us. You're seeing that on some boards. But you bring back the three from this year. Hudson, who proved he can be a pass catcher. Sample, who's a great blocker. Wilcox, who's a nice depth player who does a lot of things for you. And here's your options outside the building. You have Noah Fant with great speed. You have Gerald Everett, proven that when given the opportunity, he performs. And then you have my absolute choice. It was 2 years ago I said, if you bring this guy in, you're going to the Super Bowl. And it's Mike Gesicki of Dolphins fame. And last year he was on the Patriots and, you know, just didn't have anybody throwing to him. So he flies under the radar. And Fant, Gesicki, and Everett are all going to come at like 1 year deal, similar to like a Hayden Hurst or Irv Smith from last year, where they're not going to command a lot of money. And I think you bring in Gesicki. He is a pass catcher. He's athletic. He can high point balls. He runs great routes. He's really a receiver. No one likes his blocking, but he's basically an extra receiver at tight end that can do a lot of damage with Burrow throwing to him. I mean, that is my ultimate wish list, that we get this guy. Yes, I'm a little biased. He's from the Clark Harris. That's two Clark Harris mentions this episode. But he's also from the LBI area of New Jersey, which is near and dear to me. It's my favorite spot in my home state. And he's right from that area, so he's a local guy to me. He's a legend around there. And he would just be an excellent, excellent addition to this roster at a low price. I really hope that Mr. Tobin sees the same things that I see in this player and brings him on board. And then you don't have to worry about tight end in the draft this year. Now you're really free to go after a right tackle and best player available. All right, speaking of tackles, on to tackles. Mike Owenu from the Patriots is the best right tackle out there, 350-pound run blocker. He would be the best guy to get at this position. The problem is the Patriots have more money to spend than us, and he's their best offensive lineman. So I don't think they're going to let him leave the building. But if we can get him, you know, you get a player like that. I just think he's going to be too expensive, because what do? You're going to put out, who knows, $18 million on a guy like this, or you're going to draft someone that you're paying $1.5 million to this year. Not getting the same production as a veteran like this. But if you can get the right player in the draft, it's not going to be a big deal that you missed out on a right tackle. Aside from him, not that many on the list, or not that many that are known names, unless the Bengals have some guys that are flying under the radar, you know, guys that are on the cusp of becoming starters that they might want to give a shot to. But you already have that in Jackson Carmen. So, I mean, you're looking at other tackles. You have Trent Brown, also from the Patriots, but he's a left tackle. You have Tyron Smith from the Cowboys. He's also a left tackle. So I don't really know. It's kind of Owenu or bust if you're going to sign a right tackle. And I think you're better off just trying to get one in the draft. You'll save a lot of money. And you could spend that extra money on keeping Jamar Chase around for another decade. And guard is that position where you're just looking at depth signings. And they already have Cody Ford and a couple guys on the roster. So if they do anything in free agency, it's because they have a guy who's going to come at a cheap price, who's on the cusp of doing something special. But they're set on the interior of that offensive line, at least for the next year or two. You know, you're not going to want to move Kappa or Karras, both still playing at a high level. And Volson is just getting better and better. I don't think there's any room to spend big money on the guard position when you have guys on the roster, you have depth on the roster, and you can always get a guard in the draft, as we saw, even in the fourth round, that could probably pan out for you. Now, defensive end is the interesting position, because we're set with Hendrickson and Hubbard. And then we have a bunch of young guys that we're depending on to try to excel, you know, with your Miles Murphys and your Joseph Osais and your Cam Samples and guys like that are on the roster already. So it's not a position where you want to add this big ticket defensive end, but there's a couple guys that are out this year that are like on that 1 year prove it or not kind of deal situation, like a Chase Young, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, kind of an enemy at this point, Josh Uche, Leonard Floyd. Now, I know we have other needs elsewhere where we need to spend that money, and, you know, these guys are all going to come in probably in the $10 to $12 million range or so, roughly. But if you think about that rotation, because we're not getting that out of Osai, obviously. Miles Murphy, the jury's still out. And Cam Sample's a nice player who's going to be around for five more years, but not a game breaker. Now, just imagine, you know, Hendrickson comes out for a play or two, and in comes like a Clowney or a Young, you know, just a handful of snaps a game in third down situations, or put them both on the field at the same time. You know, you can never have enough pass rushers. And I know we're going to bank on our young guys doing it because they're inexpensive, they're brought up in our system, and they all have potential and athleticism. But as we saw last year, when Hendrickson was out, the pass rush disappeared. I don't want to see that happen again this year. And the best insurance policy for that is to take one of these one-year flyer guys and just make your team that much more intimidating. Look what the Ravens did with Clowney. I mean, Clowney knocked out Burrow for the year. And he was an afterthought, right? I think, I don't even know if he started the season with them. He was such a late signing, and he made an impact. So it shows that you get a guy like one of these four guys, it can make a huge difference. So we'll have to see how the cap plays out, but not a bad idea to try to go for one of those guys on the one-year deal. Defensive tackle, as we talked about, you have to re-sign Reader, because the other available guys are all going to be too expensive, or they're playing more of a three technique. Like Sheldon Rankins, he's a great defensive tackle, but he weighs less than 300 pounds. And then you have Christian Wilkins and Chris Jones. They're going to be way too expensive. You know, you're better off getting a Reader for less money than those two guys to fill that need. And you had B.J. Hill with a great year. You bring Tupou back. Hopefully Zach Carter develops a little bit. Maybe you get somebody in the draft in the first couple rounds. I wouldn't like to see it in the first round, but you never know. Second or third round, you start developing another defensive tackle. So it's kind of Reader or bust at this position, unless you want to chase Wilkins, fine. But now that puts Ja'Marr Chase in a spot where, what are you going to do? Franchise tag him next year, play the same game that you did with Higgins? I don't know. The Bengals capologists are geniuses and way smarter than I am. So I'm going to step out on this one and just say I would pick DJ Reader and bring him back. Linebacker, they're set. With the money that they're paying Pratt and Wilson, just look for some depth signings, whether it be their own guys or some guys from other teams. Look for them to draft here. I mean, it would be nice to steal Patrick Queen away from the Ravens. It would be nice to steal Willie Gay away from the Chiefs, but I think those guys are going to be too expensive when we have other needs to fill for those dollars. And corner's the same thing, just like defensive tackle. It's bring back a Wuzie or just develop your own. Because what are you going to do? You're going to bring in Xavien Howard with a little bit of an injury history on the decline. Tre'Davious White, who barely played last year. You know, those are two big names, but they're kind of right on the level of a Wuzie at this point. And a Wuzie knows the system, and he'll come in more cheaply than those guys. And I'm not just being a homer and saying sign our own guys, but when you're thinking of guys like Reader and a Wuzie, they're just as good or better than the other options, and probably a little bit cheaper. And again, they're Bengals. They know the system. They know the team. They're in the building. They're leaders in their position groups. It just makes total sense here. But, you know, we all like to dream, yeah, bring in Xavien Howard, you know. Nah, you know, let's stick with Awuzie, or let's just stick with Britt and DJ Turner. And obviously Mike Hilton and the rest of the crew. All right, safety is the mystery here. Do you want to make a splash? You know, they're talking about moving Dax Hill to a hybrid role. So if that's the case, you need to bring in a free safety. And out of the top free safeties, you have Xavier McKinney, and that's about it. Justin Simmons is a great safety, but he's more of a strong safety. And the Bengals have Battle, who they're developing. Quandre Diggs, same thing, strong safety. So if you're set on keeping Battle, letting him develop, and you want to move Dax Hill to a hybrid role, then Xavier McKinney is your main target, and he would be such a get in free agency. Again, he's going to command a lot of money as well. So that's the decision. You know, you could totally transform that defense with McKinney back there, Battle a year wiser, and now Hill as that third safety, slot guy, quarterback shadower. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and that would be a great luxury to have on defense if the Bengals can afford it under the cap. So McKinney would definitely be one of the highest free agents on my list. So there it is. Give me three players that aren't on our roster right now. Give me Gesicki, give me Clowney or Chase Young, and give me Xavier McKinney. You make those three signings, and you pay Chase what you owe him, you bring back some of our guys, and you're set. So with that said, here's an overview. Tight end, you get that veteran in there like Gesicki, and keep the other three guys. Defensive tackle, next priority, you need a high-level one technique, and that's DJ Reader. Next priority, right tackle. Again, I think you take that on in the draft. If not, you go after Owenu hard. safety, McKinney would be such a luxury and really change the look of this defense. So I would say you go for him or you stick with what you have and maybe supplement that in the draft. And then defensive end, you can either stick with what you have, hope Miles Murphy develops more, hopefully the light goes on for Osai, or you grab one of these prove-it veteran guys and add just another dangerous player in there for when Hendrickson's not in there, or in addition to Hendrickson, and really, you know, just be crazy out there. Hubbard's not the same kind of pass rusher as Hendrickson. So, and maybe that extends Hubbard's career. If on passing downs, you bring in a Clowney and put him on Hubbard's side opposite Hendrickson. I mean, the sky's the limit. I'm really looking forward to who we're going to sign because we're going to find a way to use these guys effectively. And like I said, McKinney, that would just totally weaponize Dax Hill. And again, what I keep saying about the one-year defensive ends and one veteran tight end to avoid having to reach for one in the draft. I kind of wish the draft came first, right? You pick all your guys and then you see what you need after that. But whatever, chicken or the egg, egg or the chicken, here we go. And then as far as other positions where there'll be like depth signings, look for interior offensive lines, a possibility for that. If they don't get one of the top tier safeties, they're still very low on safeties on the roster. So maybe you get some up and coming guy, you know, a backup type. Maybe you look towards the draft there. And then linebacker, you're going to need some more bodies in that room. So safety and linebacker, you need some bodies. Interior offensive line, you can never have enough of them. And, you know, the guys that we've tried to develop aren't quite there yet. All right, lastly, my perfect free agency would be this, and I'll just, it's by position. Trenton Irwin, Gesicki, Hudson, Sample, Wilcox, Clowney, Reeder and Tupo, Bailey, Awuzie, McKinney, huge extension for Jamar Chase. Please, Mr. Tobin, make it happen. Please make it happen. Let's go. You do what I just said there. Miss Blackburn, you somehow figure out how to make it work under the cap. And we're Super Bowl bound. And I will catch you guys next week and we'll talk about what we actually did in free agency. That'll do it for this episode. I'd like to thank @BengalsHighlights on Instagram, the best page out there. Really cool highlights, really cool music. Definitely something you should check out. Thank you for listening to the Unofficial Bengals Podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca, and I'm a Bengals fan for life.
The Unofficial Bengals Podcast.